So, speaking of football administration and all that, I want us to focus a bit on Randy because, as we promised, we are going to talk a bit about his football club, Craft United. And I know so far you've actually given us a little insight indirectly on the running of a football club and all that. But I want you to go further in detail. Like, first of all, why you dis me? I just want to know, like, the breakdown of the running of the football club. But you can start with why you even decided to start a football club, especially in a country that doesn't provide the best environment for such things. So,
Yeah, you've Randy, first you give me background on the club so
yeah.
that if it pop up on my timeline, then at least I will support crafts.
So first of all, it'd be a very funny story, but we started the club out of frustration, which ended up as a very expensive excuse,
Endeavor.
but along the line, we found more frustrated people who took some betting off our shoulder, and then we have a team. But really, I've played football, not professionally. I played coast football for some time. You couldn't make it to professional teams because Charlie, mommy and Poppy, they are back, focus on schooling, and so you had to drop out at a very early age. But these were you grew up in a compound house filled with uncles who were literally going to the stadium every Sunday and Saturday, and you wondered what was really, the fuss about going to the stadium. And then you went once and you realized that, yo, Charlie, there's some crazy atmosphere out there. Now you started wanting to go every now and then. I used to remember when my uncle would tell me that the things they saw at an Olympics training and how they discovered Charles Taylor. It was such an intriguing story. Like, he just was in the stands and, oh, boy, wait, they beat me up, boy. And they just gave him some chance. He went through the team. Next thing they saw, he was playing for the team. Like, it was so intriguing. Like, how does it happen? But along the line as well, my partner on this, who again went through the Right to Dream Academy system, thankfully went to Manchester City, the academy. Unfortunately, at the time he made it into the academy, Joe Hart was their number one, pre-Pep era. And you couldn't have knocked, Joe Hart, he had a good spell, so you couldn't have knocked him off his perch at the time. And so, he resorted to, loan spells out of the club, and then he finally settled in the Irish Premier League, where he plied the street for some time. At some point, he got injured and flew back to the country. And so, he couldn't continue playing for some time. And he'd play with the local boys, the boys here, and the Premier League teams. And Charlie, some of the situations you come and narrate to you was very disheartening. He would go to training and he literally has to sort every other player before they left the training center because nobody had a CD to go
So
home from the
from
training.
his own pockets.
From his own pockets, he had to fund the boys, Charlie, because he's seen as the professional, quote unquote. Charlie, he played Manchester City, something small for the boys, like beef
Yeah.
or chop, you understand? And these were boys he started with. So he was lending an arm to the boys, and he'd call me and he knew how passionate I was about the game. He'd call me and we have long, long, long conversations about how we could do something to help. And myself, I have worked in advertising for about close to 15 years. And you are working with some of these brands who are managing these sporting events, football clubs, and you look through the conversations and you realize there's a lot of value on the table, but nobody's picking them. They start asking yourself questions. So one on the sportsmanship front and two on the administrative front, where Charlie, you needed to fix talent, you also needed to fix running of the business, because the clubs, before anything else, are businesses. And so we needed to treat them as such. And so I asked him, what can we do? Can we help, go into helping clubs for free? That was our intention. It was never about starting a football club. And so we started looking, but you know how the structures of some of these clubs are. They're very, long hierarchy, family traditional clubs,
Lot of red
owners who are
tape.
probably, thank you, a lot of red tapes on clubs, owners who are probably out of touch with the game today, and you're trying to sell something to them for free, and they are bluffing you. Charlie, you want to give it to them for free, and then nobody's giving you space to even do some significant work with them. And so you thought to yourself, ah, Charlie, if I want to do this thing for free and everybody, they try show off and things, why not try something on our own? Even before that, we recently consulted for one of the clubs who had gone to the Africa level, played in the the CAF competitions. We full-blown consultation. We were going to put them on because we felt like they needed some support locally. The prize money for the league couldn't sustain them. And, you know, they needed some bit of support. And
so I make you both give me contract to see too.
How we could...
I feel helping people.
You, the contract after that, this is the drafter right now. I will just put my signature for top and send you. So after the run, you know, we felt like we could salvage something for them before their Africa trip. Unfortunately, we couldn't hear from anybody because, again, some of these people were not forthcoming. It was a long, bloated system where you couldn't hear from anybody. I mean, you put in a request, you don't hear from anybody until like a month. At that time, Charlie, the client you won't go collect money from, I'm changing my. You understand?
So what year was this?
This was 2024. Like, so I told my guy, yo, you understand sportsmanship. You've been here. You know how the fire burns. Like, you know what it smells like. You played here locally. You were scouted to the academy. You went to Manchester City at the time. They got the big takeover. And so you sort of have an idea how this would look like. On my end, from brand positioning, from, you know, building the team, starting the journey for the team and putting our best foot forward in terms of brand building, I resorted to the challenge and, you know, we started speaking about how we could start something. And then, you know, we speak to some boys. Thankfully, like Crap would tell you, a lot of, if you live within the Mamprobi, Dansoman, Latabiokoshi area, you see a lot of people who have been either through football, have played or have been in administration for a long time. And so you resorted to, you know, sitting these people down for long hours. They'll tell you what you could do, you could speak to. And then they were quite resourceful. They'll give you numbers, they'll give you people you can talk to. And then we saw, oh, it was actually fruitful. We started making the calls and we're like, guy, we could actually do this. And so what's our goal here? We can't start a football team because we feel like we're trying to help somebody for free and we couldn't. So we needed to get a bigger goal. And so, you know, we looked around again. And back to the conversation about the footballing system having grown to become like a paltry system running here where nobody is looking out for the local game. Nobody is looking out for setting up a proper football club. Because I'll tell you for a fact, when last you saw Hearts of Oak sell a player for over $1 million?
Especially in this economy, you know, you should be able to at least prep them up and then ship them
exactly
to...
Exactly.
A lower European team just for that amount of
because
money.
Because it's gotten there. You know, everybody literally is looking at Charlie. I had a story about how an Ashgold marksman, you know, got a contract in Europe for close to what, $2.5 million. The club wanted more money. Unfortunately, the window passed and they had to settle for like a 750K deal. And bro, that's like $1.25 million off what you ordinarily would have gotten. You know, and some of these small things affect how we run as businesses. And generally, even off football, getting patient capital in this country is a headache. And so if you happen to be in a system where you're getting so many, the macroeconomics of the country is affecting you because if you get an investor today for a football club, they are going to probably invest in USD. The FX market is not looking too good. That's going to put them off. There are so many things that would deter a possible investor to come into the market. And so if we as managers of the game also start to, oh, I can get some 10K from some player and ship him without necessarily looking out for the game in the long run, nobody eats from here because it's just until tomorrow, we'll all come back and we'll say we don't have a team any longer because we sold all our players. We couldn't make any proper money out of them. We didn't have any money to sustain the running of the club. And so now we are out of business. We can't continue running games like that. And I tell you what, a chunk of the players, a lot of the local players who play here, if they're probably not signed to any proper management or don't have any agents who are looking out for them consistently, probably can't play in any top league or top club in Europe. And so you're either having to play here locally or having to travel around Africa, which probably at this point wouldn't be too big of a deal for a player who wants to live his life in Europe. And you're starting to look at the possibilities here for those who don't get to travel. Does it mean if you don't get to travel and all your 15, 20 year span as a local player, you don't get to travel, you're probably having to deal with non-payment of salaries, like for all your 20 year span. Like, bro, these were the questions we were asking ourselves, because recently a Premier League team played and they had to field Division 2 players for non-payment of salaries. And you're asking yourself, how long until this stops? Because if I have a friend who is a parent, he get one or two kiddies, he play for a local Premier League club and can't even get a decent salary to take care of his family. And he's not getting any proper deals to go out to the country because, again, he's probably beating the time clock because he's probably, what, 26, 28? No proper Europe team will come from a 28. I mean, come on, realistically, from here. Unless you have proving to have done something significant for them to want you. But does it mean you're not making anything as a player here? The players are not taking very good care of, you know. It's, again, back to business as usual. We ship them and we don't even care what happens to the players. I was told a story about how a very good player from Inter Allies with his agents flew to trials in a Serie A team. Deal was sent to them. The agent says, yo, the money is not enough, so you're not making the team. I'm like, how does that make sense? This was the guy's only outlet to go and prove a point and potentially make some more money and more value from the country he's going to. And even ripples back to the club you sent him from.
Yeah.
But yeah, for somebody's, you know, myopic vision, oh yeah, the money you know plenty, so don't go. And these are some of the plights of the players. Charlie, it'd be very sad when you sit them down and you're talking to some of these people. And my partner, who has been a professional player, Charlie, he's like, yo, let's try and do something. So we came together, try and create a system that takes very good care of the players. Even if you don't get to travel, if you play our team, and this is something I'm hoping we actually go beyond worse to prove, that even if you don't get to play at the highest level that we play Division 2 all our lives, we give you a life you can be proud of. We make sure we take very good care of the players. For example, I shouldn't be saying this, but I mean, this is an exclusive. We signed a deal with Jampo Spaces, for example, where we're taking the players through branding and value building classes. So the players, the playing body, and the technical staff of the team, occasionally you're having to go and sit through master classes on how to build a brand, because there's life after football. You have to build brands.
Shout out to technical, Meister.
You know, these are people who are looking out for local things and are developing things in the country. And so it's just moving from that point to creating a certain level of value around the game and hopefully getting as many people to rally behind the idea, because it's not just football. We've seen how people have explored the transformative power of football to enrich communities. This is something we hope to do. Can we commit, for example, if we start making some decent money out of transfers, maybe if the player, we scouted him from some part of Eastern region, some village, can we commit a percentage of that transfer proceeds to developing that part of the community? These are things we're hoping to do in the future. So this is why we started the football club. We want to play at the highest level. I mean, we have dreams of winning the CAF Champions League and potentially the FIFA Club World Cup before 2040. It's as it stands now, it sounds very ambitious, but we're trying as much as possible not to end in the, you know, in a situation where we're incapacitated so much here locally to not be able to do some of the things we speak about. But we want to make sure that we want to create the world's next dream team from here.
Media, I say at the campaign, so, make people add me to the team. I tell you.
So something that I people have experience. Can share. The experience there, we tap into them already, so you don't get a problem. You know, something that people can brag about, because again, we are having to fight against tradition. All we are having to fight against as a club today is tradition. Accra Hearts of Oak is 100 plus years. Great Olympics is what, 70 plus years. Kotoko is in that same, you know, community or constituency. And you're having to fight against tradition. But is that all there is to, you know, developing a football club? Can we manage the sportsmanship very well? When was the last time you saw a local player play a local league and made their way into the national team setup and got to become a stay and not just a visitor? You know, these are things we're looking at. Fixing basic football and trying to create some level of quality we can send around the country and hopefully ship over, because that's good money anyway as well. So yeah, that's we're open to partners and, you know, people who share same vision or same ideas as we do. And just like Craig said, he's already on the team without knowing. He has signed the contract already. So yeah, that's how we started the club, really.
So speaking of being open to clubs and partners and all that, are you also looking at the possibility of maybe joining like a football group, like the way they have the City Football Group, Red Bull Football Group? Is this something that you are also considering, or you want to go at it alone on your own?
I think I set myself up here, but yeah, I mean, I own the team, so yeah.
The money there.
That's just, that's just by the way. So one of the things we also started was we wanted to create a pathway for the players. So for example, if you start here, you probably travel to the Africa level, maybe like a team in Egypt where you have a much more competitive setup there. You play there and probably shipped into Europe, and then maybe you retire in the US and then maybe you come back to Ghana. We have started that. We have started advanced stakeholder conversations with some people in Doma, Bronga Hafa region specifically, where we're starting another club there. This is post craft has developed, but what we intend doing is to make that a pathway so you grow from there. There's a pathway to Accra, you're shipped over to the Africa level, you go out in Europe, and then retirement, you know, there's a US market. We have had some conversations with people who have interests. I mean, to some extent, when we started, my partner got a call from somebody in Rwanda for the same reason. They wanted to rival some local clubs because they felt like they had been too comfortable. And so they were looking at the possibilities of taking over a club there and trying to replicate the same level of, you know, management, sports management, administrating to that level. And so, yes, this is something we're pretty much open to. Obviously, once the deal is good, we're open to talk about to that. But yeah, it's for the long term, we're open to that.
So far, what's the biggest challenge you faced or the biggest obstacle you faced? Because I know that's like, oh, again, in this environment.
I'll let you land this money. Oh, but again, you're having to face a lot of barriers in the market because, again, there's a lot of naysayers. There's a lot of people who didn't get the vision. There's a lot of people who tell you, Charlie, academies are in vogue, so why not resort to building an academy, ship the players over? But if everybody, the thing is, everybody creates an academy and we ship over the talent, we'll come back to this podcast, this table, and constantly talk about the local national team setup, not having quality enough to even grow to a certain level to start playing to win for trophies and everything. And so doing it right doesn't come easy. It takes somebody to at least say something and want to stick by it and want to do that. We're hoping along the line we you know, nothing derails our course. We are stuck on the journey and we can do something that the country generally is proud about. There's been so many challenges. I mean, we've had challenges with local regulatory bodies, internal issues from licensing, you know, to where we can play, restrictions because you're a Division II club. You can't do this at this time. You can't spend too much beyond a setting threshold. And some of these things we're having to learn, because it's one thing looking from the outside. It's another thing managing an actual football club here. It may be different because if you pick a model club from Europe, the systems would be different. So obviously you would be having to deal with two different FAs, two different systems. And we've had to deal with so many crashes in terms of financing, where when we started, we had a chokehold on some level of financing from Europe. And so we had spoken to people with the help of my partner, because he had, you know, he was a global globetrotter. So he had, you know, gone far and wide, sought investors and everything. So we got some decent, you know, financing at the start of the project. And then once you start hearing how bad the economy is crashing, for example, you know, some of these people are disinterested to continue the investment. And so at the time we were supposed to, ideally, we were supposed to launch the club with a soft event October 1st. For some few reasons, we couldn't do that. We had to resort to a social launch, you know, because of some restrictions financially. You're having to deal with extra taxation on your shipments for kits and other technical supplies. We landed a very, very, very good kit sponsor. It was a good deal. They were sponsoring a local club here. It's a world famous brand. We didn't land the deal, and so it wouldn't be fair to mention the brand.
We speak on it.
But they sponsor a local Premier League team here. But when we did the math and we saw how much we were going to pay in taxes for having shipped over the jerseys and some of the kits and the supplies to Ghana, Charlie, it didn't make business sense. Let me put it that way.
Make a startup. May I get back for you? Like, I'm gonna use them as I'm gonna pay the luggage fee.
You know, because you know, you were thinking of you were starting the team. The team needed some equipment to start training with, and so you were looking at even air freights to even speed up the process. And then you're starting to get into that, and Charlie, the budgets they're hitting your head with, you're asking yourself if you can sustain the team by starting to pay some of these amounts. I mean, we know start season 7, you're having to cough up close to tens of thousands of dollars to pay for shipment, not even the jerseys and the equipment. And so, at a large extent, you're asking yourself questions about sustainability of the model you want to run. Because again, you look around, I don't know if this was different in Crack's situation, but you speak to a lot of the players who play the lower divisions, and they tell you, we don't get salaries. What we get are bonuses after every win. And it was shocking to me. What we probably, for example, would have done is if we are out of season, because we're a small club, and realistically, we probably may not be able to pay full salaries when we are out of season, can we get into a conversation where we halve your salaries? You know, these are forward-moving conversations you can potentially have with some of the players. They are reasonable. They would understand, and, you know, they can, you know, land on some decent contracts, and you can get things moving. But if you're having to think about some of these things and, you know, it starts, check this thing off the box, and Charlie, even jerseys are becoming a headache. And so now you have to resort to an equally good local partner. These are some of the things you have to deal with. We, for some weeks ago, we had to organize a scouting event for some visa issues. Some of the agents and scouts who were supposed to travel to the country to witness that couldn't come, unfortunately. And so we had to reschedule the scouting event. And so, you know, these are some of the challenges. There have been a lot of internal challenges, which I probably can't touch on now. But on the outside, these are some of the things you've had to deal with. And you can't go, again, you can't go and tell somebody, a bank, to loan you money. Because what the bank cares about is your credits. You know, you're depositing money, and that's what they care about. So they don't care what you want to do for the football country, and nobody cares. And reasonably so, they need to balance their books. And it's been proving time and time again that businesses of that level, if, for example, a club like Samatex, having won the Premier League, can't get some decent sponsorship to Africa, you're starting to ask questions that, is it really sustainable? You know, if you're winning the Premier League. And this was an interesting story. So before we landed the the kit supplier, we went into a conversation with another kit supplier who also were kitting another local club. And having gone through our conversations, we signed contracts and everything. They were like, Charlie, no, wait a minute. We can't sign this contract. So I was wondering, like, why can't you sign it? It's like, no, we signed a contract with a Premier League team, and it looks like we're giving you guys more than we're giving them. And then I told my partner, Charlie, you can't fault us for brokering a good deal. That tells you how bad the market, for example, has become. And so disinterest on the sponsorship level, there's a bigger market for football. It's a estimated 1 billion revenue markets for football transfers. Sponsorship markets for football across Africa only is in the excess of 240 million for what? From the last few tournaments and outings of local competitions you've seen, we've seen the investments by FIFA, by CAF, infrastructure shifts in the local market where Casa Trasaco with the Italian consulate are building academies and linking them back to the Juventus system. We're seeing the Accra Lions system having built a very, very robust system where they're grooming actual players. And you could see, testament to the fact that they're doing some good work, you could see a David Odrow, a left back, who ordinarily wasn't playing your buoyant, flamboyant-looking Premier League club, Accra Lions. I mean, they were second for a reason. Kudos to them. But they are not your bread and butter when it comes to local football here, having made their way directly to the Barcelona setup. And that's a very, very, very big deal. You know, these are things we're looking at, and these are things that give us, you know, some level of assurance that we can look on something, we can look at some level of blueprints to do something at least. And so the challenges will come, but we are hoping they don't phase us much to even want to give up. I don't know if Crack has given up, but Charlie, I want to know some of the challenges he faced, especially having run this for a longer period here in the market.
It's not about giving up per se, because I come from a typical football background and a football neighborhood, so it's something that is around me. So it's not about giving up, because the players still come and press my bell. Those that couldn't make it because of injuries and all, they still come and press my bell. Some of them that I've been playing in Division 1s and all, I mean, we still play together. They come for me for advice and all those things. So, like, I'm still involved in a way, but I'm not involved financially, as I said, because it took a huge toll and there were a lot of things that, like, because I still have my boys that still connect me to talented young boys that need advice, that need help. So I still connect them to some of the team owners that I know that, Charlie, I get these boys so and so, just see through and see to them and all those things. So giving up, no, I can't give up, because football is something that is a part of me. But as to me being invested and all those things, nah, I took a back seat, because there was a lot going on, because the plans we intended didn't happen, like it didn't materialize, because the financial side of it, the progress of it, everything had to be halted. So, and we're even doing our community league where we had investors, sponsors in it, like, you know, just to keep the kids away from the street to do bad things and all those things. Those that are still playing, because some of them, as you are saying, the people that play Division 3 and 6, they don't pay them. They just give you, like, come and play match. They give you 20 CDs or 50 CDs just to go back home and all those things. Some of them don't even get the proper, like, medical. Like, if you ask Philemon Smiley, I've linked most of my players to him. Like, I know this doctor. I will pay for your scan. Go scan, make this doctor. So I use most of my friends that are doctors, nurses, to help these boys x-ray and all those things. I still do that, because most of the Division 3 entities, they are not well equipped to help these boys. And if you don't do it early, in future, it will worry you. I've had players that actually, some of the injuries weren't taken there properly. Right now, proper scouts from abroad come. Right now, they pass, they go and do medicals and realize that, actually, hey, your bone here shifts, your ankle, Charlie, bro. Wait, then they cry, come my dad. You understand? And it's hard to overlook those things. So where I can help some of them, I still help. Those ones too, which are the football left, they still advise, but right now I help them, some of them link them to somebody, they want Uber driver and all those things. But football is what they eat in, Charlie, and it's hard to see this. And that's why I'm always on the FA for killing coach football, because it gave this guy's purpose. Like, it gave most of them purpose.
Yeah.
And right now that more parents, their mind is open to football. You have people paying for their sons to train with things and things. Right now, mom, that is supposed to be like this, and you are killing it. You about the time where you have to go to school, we're going to play football, mom. It was buoyant, like proper. Right now, that there's investment and things that they have to be there. Charlie, they are not getting the opportunity. So I have not given up, but the financial side, they still press my bell every day.
And yeah. And one interesting thing I wanted to add is we are getting more money today than we have gotten in the past for our football. That's an interesting fact. And sadly, it's happening at a time where it's in a very deplorable state and, you know, it needs some resuscitation. I had conversations with some people and they kept telling you about, yo, Charlie, are you sure this is sustainable? Can you keep it running for a long time like you intend? And, you know, these are questions you sleep on, you think about, and you're finding fixes to them every other day and trying to make sure you're in business. I mean, keep a healthy, balanced team and make sure you're in business and you don't crash out of the market after, say, a season or two, because it can be very draining financially. But you talk to people and their model clubs, they are telling you it's the Ajaxes of the world, the Feyenoords of the world. And what they don't see is before an Ajax grooms a Kudus and sells him to West Ham, he actually puts some value on him. They make sure there's a system back home in Amsterdam that can hold the players for as long as they stay in Amsterdam and play there. They make sure they are winning the league, or at least trying to, and doing some decent football in Amsterdam before any player, any agent comes back to say, hey, we want this player and want to sign them for this amount. If we're having to create that system where everybody thinks, oh, you can get away with selling your players and nobody cares. Charlie, nobody cares about the league. Today, we don't know what has become of our broadcasting for the league, for example. When the league started, you didn't know where you could watch the league and you were thinking. The South African FA, for example, gives grants to the local teams after every month in excess of 2 million rand. At least if you don't get anything, it keeps you level-headed. It keeps you above what, it keeps you afloat. And so you can run your team to a certain level, but you're not getting some of these things here. And these are things that you're trying as much as possible to fight and push beyond to see if you can get some real lasting solutions to. Because if we all come and we complain about the situation and nobody actually takes the mantle to do anything really, I mean, we constantly will be here. And before the players go out to play football in Europe and America, wherever they are going anyway, they are starting from Ghana. Your business is here. Your club is here. Everything is tied to Ghana. It's like you're deeply rooted here. You can't just stand up and wake up and say, I'm going to play the national championship in England. You can't. And so once you have interest here, I think the same thing to do is looking out for the local system, making sure that it's at a level where even you as a business can thrive. Because today, if I'm sure, just like as Crack spoke, I'm sure if he got some cool 100 grand, he'd probably go into active investment. But today, where's that money? Not because he's not proving himself, but because the market hasn't given you so much to work with. And so nobody wants to even throw money here. I mean, if just to end with this, we're having conversations with after Global Citizen about building bigger venues, and somebody said, oh, they feel like we need a bigger stadium and we need like an 80,000 capacity stadium. And the first question I asked the guy was, what's your reason? Because obviously you should have some level of reason. He said, oh, Charlie, right now we don't have any stadium, we're big, so we fall. I'm like, that's your reason? Bro, let me tell you how serious this thing is. In a year, there are only two or three events that can fill your 40,000 capacity stadium. And these are not footballing events. These are not football games. These are church events. These are concerts. And even that, at the level where they can fill stadia, happened twice in a year. Because the financial muscle that backs some of these things, you're talking close to $2 million to put up some of these things. And not as many people can cough up that money every time. Bro, how many people are turning over 2 million seats?
And the funny thing is that
as businesses here.
And the funny thing is that at that level, say that you talk about to fill it, some of them are paying 10 Ghana, 50 Ghana to go every day. So the financial result for that doesn't make sense.
Bro, so you see, so it should be something in all of our interest where, you know, we shouldn't sit and think, oh yeah, you have a club, you're able to sell players overseas, and so yeah, you shouldn't care. It's the same thing like the Galamse issue. Oh, some people thought, oh yeah, you're in Accra. So yeah, Charlie, going out to protest, Charlie, really? Right now, they thought you say Wajadam, it is turning brown. And now you're starting to ask questions. What's the tunnel? How does it come to the Wajadam to flow back into Accra? Now you're doing all the math and you're thinking, yo, it's actually closer than we thought. And so these are some of the things that push us to do some of the things we're doing. We're hoping it gets beyond, you know, the local, you know, barriers we are facing. But hopefully we can do something that, again, we can all rally behind and cheer on and even brag about some time to come.
So before we wrap up, I just want to ask, where can we find your club? Like, where do you play your home matches? If there's any merchandise too that you sell, where can we get it? All of that.
Yeah, the jerseys there, I am for Repsol.
Yeah, because that's one thing that I wanted to ask. Because you know Ghanaian football clubs, like, if you ask me right now where I go figure get House of Folk jersey, I don't know. If you ask me where I go get
so, our next recording, we go rep them.
So... Well, I go say to you, so we just announced a kit partner, Maniac. So Maniac clothed Dreams FC for their Africa run, and they did some really good job. And so after, you know, we thought it wise to partner with a local sponsor to make sure we're also pushing as much as we can. And so in a few days, we're going to show everybody what the jersey looks like. So once they come, we're going to send some over to you to even tell us what you think about the jersey. I mean, it's early days yet, and so we're not trying to do too much. And so, for example, this is early days again, but I'll go into this conversation because you spoke about merchandising. For a local club, like for a small club like ours, where there's a market for merch, but there's no value for the club as it stands. That's the reality. And so what we are doing for our first season is to run a fan competition where we gift jerseys without a fan having to pay any single CD for a jersey in the first year. We're hoping we can get to do that. So we do like fan competitions where the fans can win jerseys, or we send jerseys to some people who are supportive of the idea and the club in the first year to, you know, just introduce the club to them. That's your rites of passage into supporting the club. You get a jersey. We tell you what the jersey means, what you can do for us. Rather, what we are looking to sell are founding member packages where, you know, once we announce, you get to understand as a founding member what you get. We in the course of the season, we're launching a special partnership merch, which will partner a local designer here, a graffiti artist, actually, who's designing like a special collection of merch for the club. That will be on sale, but the jerseys are not going to be on sale because, again, you know, we want to create a certain community of fans before we even get into, you know, burdening them with, you know, sales and everything. And so once we get into that, once the special merch collection comes, we can, you know, put that to
and,
sale.
And another thing, everybody can another get a thing piece where it's even an opportunity for your team, since it's up and coming, it would actually be good for ATW to even be a silent this one for you, because people have been trying to get us on, but we've not really been forthcoming as well. So I think with this is something where, like, we can also promote and push, because it's a Ghanaian own, it's one of our own, and we can even work something out behind the scenes where we have a segment about updating your team, talking about it and pushing it as well. Because most of the sports, this one on YouTube, on Spotify, it is, they are not doing numbers like us. You understand, right now we've carved that niche for ourselves.
Talk about it.
Honestly,
we are
doing well. So this is also going to, so behind, after that, we can actually talk about ways which we can both help each other as well. Because this is something that's an opportunity for you to capitalize in as well. So, yeah.
Charlie, thanks. Thanks a lot. I don't take this lightly. And I was going to ask Smiley a question. So I listened to this episode where you're talking about how you grew the ATW pages on socials to get to a certain level. And right now I come, so I can't ask for small tips on how to grow our socials to make a ship over to the social team. Maybe today know how to grow around building.
Honestly, I think the best, like, the best thing is when maybe you can identify.
Wait, that's the way you give this information for free there. Hey, for cut this out.
No. Is it?
Cut this out.
And then, yeah, Smiley.
I've been gone too long for you.
I
try, to
you know what?
That's
why I try cut
Smiley. See, ship
free game. No, that's why I try cut Smiley off, because what we did there, it might not necessarily work for Randy, but other people go still up. That's why they try cut you off to say, I go, because I have ideas for you, Randy. Make it not worry. I get ideas for, right now, I did the digital marketing space, so I get ideas for how you can you can grow. Yeah, we go. Smiley, I beg you, this man, cut him out. Cut him out.
Yeah, see, guys, we have to cut out what Smiley answered. You can't give out that information for free.
No way.
Like, you know, in socials, Smiley the dead, you can reach him out privately. So from that point on, again, we've cut it out. Thank you.
But yeah, again, your club, like, where to find you if you want to come and watch you for the week? Like, we want to spend a weekend watching your club.
Oh, yeah.
All of that, yeah.
So the season hasn't started for us, and so we're still in advanced conversations with, you know, some of the venue owners to find a match day venue. We're looking at playing our games in Legon. So that's something we're looking at because
the new Legon Stadium.
So there's a park,
smaller park
in Legon as
okay,
well.
Okay, okay. I think I've played
not the Ajax park, but there's another park. Yeah, it's used for the rugby games mostly. It has a decent seating capacity. You know, it's a good field, you know, for small club, get to grow the team, grow the community around. And I mean, the reason why you'd ask yourself why we're doing that, because we're based in Dansoman. We looked for some facility, and at the level we wanted, we wanted a friendly facility for the players. Also, you're looking at their health moving forward, and you know, you didn't really get to any consensus with some of these people, but we're still looking in the community, and if we're able to find some facilities there, we'll pick that as well. But we're training in Dansoman. Once the matches come out, the FA or the GAFA announces, you know, that's the regional FA. Once they announce what the itinerary for the season looks like, we'll be sure to communicate that, and you know where to support the team from, where our matches are going to be played, and what our first match would even look like. We're doing like a four-match pre-season, which will start somewhere end of October. And so once we're able to, you know, finalize on the teams as well, that will be put out. Because some of these people we want to play are either pre-seasoning or are bigger clubs in Division One who are also have also started playing their leagues. And so, you know, their schedules are a bit shaky, but we're still working around that to make sure we can land some decent opposition to play against before the league season starts.
Oh, me, so yes, me, I go figure that. I go figure that some strong first 11 form and probably the teams come play you for that. I'll make you over you.
Dale, we back. At least let's get some win streak for some time before you can't test me with some players. I beg you. But yeah, you can follow our socials, Craft United. On all socials, Craft United, CRAFTE United, on all socials. It's a small account. So we're growing by the day. We're hoping you like the content we put out constantly. And we're hoping for feedback. And so if you have any recommendations whatsoever, we're happy to hear them. We want to build a community club. And so if you feel we should sack our coach like we want us to sack Otoado, we don't mind. If you feel like we should do a crowdfunding to sign Kudus, we're open to that.
Unless you make we ultras or season ticket holders, they're fine and give it and all that. Yeah. So if you're offering all those things, then yeah, sure. We can take out.
Yeah, so you know, this week we're announcing a founding member package. So that would come with a seasonal ticket. That would come with a dedicated membership package per se. You'd at some point get a discounted share price when you want to invest in the club. These are things we're working on. So in the course of the week, we'll announce what the package looks like, what you're getting in entirety, and how much it will even cost to get something like that.
Good. Because at the end of the day, that's what football has become like that now anyway. But then that's what it's always been about, fostering community, engaging them, you know, bringing them in so that they can see the value in which they are putting their time, money, and support into. So at least if we have such forward-thinking clubs right now, and I'm not saying that any of the other clubs aren't doing that, but then, you know, actually engaging us and, you know, trying to find some ground, what we are looking for and what you are also able to offer to, we appreciate that as well. So thank you for that.
And I think actually, just before we end that part, I think one thing that could work in your favor is the fact that you're playing in the Legon area. So the fact that you have university students around you, you could also reach out to them and let them form your core fan base, so that like they start, if you get like people supporting you from such a young age, that could be like Kayo was talking about, that could be your ultra fan base. So
let me tell you why you need once you create that religion and tradition. I had that for my people, right? They follow you to the ends. You don't even have to give them anything. Like, they follow you everywhere. Like, they have the passion. Because once you provide, like, let's say snacks, let's say food, in a way for them, these university boys, you can't watch the match. Snacks, they are available for you. Oh, then go come. Like, and trust me, that not the cost much. Other than somebody who can't lie, you say, can't give them money before. No. You just play. Because once then they come, you make them know, say, Charlie, water and snack, some cool drink day available for them. Oh, forget. All the time, they go dedicate them on Saturdays and Sundays to you, and they go remove from there. Because one thing I study about the players and the sports psychology, we say, once they know people are there supporting them, they always give their best. They always take their performance up a notch. Because if they insult them, they shout at them, all the build character, and they tell you, like, all the build character, make them know, say, Charlie, come match day, I know the fool. So since they even them are training self, then they switch because they know that right now, people they can't watch them, fans they can't watch them. See, this be all the nuggets that they give you, I go bring to the team. So yeah, so you go talk.
So yeah, Charlie Randy, thanks again for giving us this like brief on your team. Like, it's very insightful. It's actually a huge challenge you've taken on, but we are all rooting for you. We are hoping that you managed to reach all your aims, and the 2040 Champions League will be there for it. We all go to the final.
But you know how interesting it is, eh? Right now, if you play in the Division 2 and you get to play in the FA Cup, you can you eventually win. You can play
the FA Cup winner gets a place
at the Confederations Cup, and if you're lucky to make it to the group stage, you have a shot at winning the trophy. And so, I'm not preempting what will happen, but.
But then, there's a shortcut you can take.
Yeah.
let's see how we can run a good football club. So, yeah. Thank you, Randy. Yeah.